Would you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And let's read verses 12 through 27. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And what Paul is speaking about here is he's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about us. We are the body. We each have a specific part to play, and there's not one person that can play every part. As he says, everybody is just as important as everybody else. In verse 18, he says, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now, that's true with our bodies, but what Paul is talking about here is in the spiritual body of Christ, he has arranged every person specifically with their gifts and with their talents and with their desires. And that means that every person has a part to play in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Also, Paul's teaching a key point in verse 26. He says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. What he's doing here is he's going into great detail for the Corinthians because there's divisions among them. And he's trying to get them to come together. He's going into great detail to say that everybody is equally important. Everybody has different gifts. Some people's gifts may seem to be better. Some people's gifts may seem to be less. But they're not. Everybody is just as important as everybody else in the body of Christ. And there's not one person that can be the only body in the body of Christ. Every person is honored and everyone is affected by the body. If one person suffers, everybody suffers. That means we're intravenously connected with each other. If one person suffers in this body of Christ, we all suffer. Now, he's going into great detail to prove that we're all needed, we're all equally valuable, and we all have our specific gifts. And then in one verse, he ties it all together and he says that we are to be one. Just one. If we're all suffering, if one suffers, we all are. As individuals, we're just individuals. But when we come together for that body of Christ, we become a powerful witness where everybody complements one another, where everybody's gifts work together to accomplish the ministries of God. Now, we've already talked about this in the last 6 months. We've talked about the body. But last week, what did we talk about? Anybody? We talked about love. That's right. Did that come back from the sound booth? All right. We talked about love last week because of Valentine's Day and everything else, but we talked about the love of God. And the power of that love and how that love is not like an earthly love. In chapter 13, Paul gives a lot of specific characteristics of love. Now, I want to read through chapter 13 once more so that we can kind of understand how these two chapters go together. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's 15 characteristics that he lists right there about love. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Have we made the connection between chapters 12 and 13 yet? In chapter 12, Paul's giving us some instructions here. Number one, he says, okay, you're all different. Number two, he says, some people have gifts that seem to be greater than others, and some people think their gifts are greater, some people think that their gifts aren't as great. Number three, that we all belong together, that we are one. And number four, this is the best one. After all of that individuality, all of that division, he says there is to be no division in the body. So first off, Paul says, okay, you guys are all different. You guys all have different gifts. You guys, some people may think you're more important than other people, but you're not, and you have to get along. You have to work together. So he takes one of the hardest things that there is to do, to take a diverse group of people and combine them as one. Do we know how hard that is to do? Just because we're under one roof this morning doesn't mean we're one unified body with no divisions. It's deeper. And so these instructions, there to be no division in the body, I just read over that and it's like, okay, no division in the body. I'll remember that. It's a lot harder than that, don't you think? Isn't it? Have you ever seen a big diverse group of people become one unit just because somebody said so? And even if we try, how does it work? What if somebody in that group says, I'm a head, and half the group doesn't like the head? What do you do? Sooner or later, sin will cause a division, as it has been proven over and over from the Old Testament till Christ on the cross. The first division between God and man was with Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden. And it takes us all the way to the cross, and Paul goes from chapter 12 about being together and chapter 13 about love, because it is only that love that closed that division. It is only through this love that he is preaching on in chapter 13 that makes chapter 12 possible. Without it, it's impossible. It doesn't work. If you stop at the end of chapter 12 like I always did and didn't go on to 13, it doesn't work. You can try it. I think we know that it will not work. Paul knows what he's doing when he's preaching about love and the characteristics of love. I mean, these characteristics are specific. I mean, he's very specific about love, being patient and kind, and all other things. Just as the love that is God, we talked about last week how love, God is love. We only know love because God loved us first. That love in its highest form that we know, that is the only love that can close that division between God and man. And it's the only love that can make our body of believers come together. I think about one of the biggest industries that's emerging in the world right now. There's three big ones going on. One of the big ones right now is health and wellness, isn't it? Has anybody noticed the energy drinks and the health drinks, the vitamin waters, the... Let's see, we've got a challenge going on right now in America to lose weight. We've got shows about losing weight, working out. lifestyle patterns. We've seen so many things about this new, it's almost like a culture developing. I don't know if anybody of you have ever eaten organic vegetables. I know my family does because they grow them. But if you've eaten the difference between, I've read some of Jocelyn's report, it's really crazy stuff, the difference between an organic thing and a non-organic thing, and unless she's just making it up. I don't think she is. But that really doesn't have anything to do with it now, does it? Because organics are coming. Don't you see all the organic stuff in the shelves? I never saw that stuff growing up, did you? You know what happened to the days of DDT? Well, what does it take to keep our bodies healthy? That's what we need to focus on, because what we're talking about here is the body of Christ. So what does it take to keep our bodies healthy? I think you need to eat right. Am I right? You need to drink healthy things. You need to exercise. What happens if you eat and drink and you gorge and then you just sit on the couch or in front of the TV or sleep all day? How do you feel? It makes me feel pretty good, doesn't it? No, I feel sluggish. I feel tired. I feel like a blob. I'm not doing anything. And it begins to take its toll on me. And then all of a sudden, running up the stairs here, I'm out of breath when I get to the top of the stairs. It takes work to keep your body healthy. Just like we need to keep ourselves healthy, we need to keep our body of Christ healthy also. We need to look at ourselves. Are we sluggish? Are we tired in our Christian walk? As Paul is giving us the foundation that is essential for the healthy way of believers, and that is love. As we work together, we have to keep love that is of God our focus, that he gives us here. If you have something to say, you know, we get so many divisions within the body, don't we? Within the church, people go on campaigns, people try to do this, people try to do this. And when we talk to someone, I mentioned this a little bit last week about your motives being out of love. We've got a great way to cross-reference things here. And it's this little 15-point checklist. If I'm going to go say something to Rick Bachman, I better be thinking, man, am I saying this out of patience or am I real impatient about this? Is that affecting what I'm saying? Is it kind? Most of the time. Is it kind? You need to ask yourself, is it kind? Is what I'm saying, of what I'm feeling, is it something that's coming out of envy? Am I boasting about something? Most of the time. I'm just joking. Just joking. Is what I'm saying coming from pride? Am I being rude? Am I self-seeking? That's a good one. In what we say, are we looking at our motives? Are we being self-seeking, self-centered with our desires? Are we saying it out of anger? Are we easily angered? Do we just fly off and say things to one another? Are we bringing up our record of wrongs that we have tried to, that we have worked through and healed, but are we bringing those back up? Are we delighting in evil? The one that comes to my mind when I think about delighting in evil is gossip. Is there gossip in our body? Because that is delighting in evil. Because gossip is not of love. Are you rejoicing in the truth? Are you protecting? Are you protecting the body? Are you trusting? Are you hoping? Are you persevering? If we have something to say to one another, we need to see if we match up here. We have to look at our roles in the body here of Christ. As Paul says, we're all individuals coming together. We need to look at our individual roles, and we have to examine ourselves and seeing how we're fitting into the body. What are we doing? Because if one person is struggling, the whole body is struggling. Isn't that what he said? So you can't think of yourself as an individual here in the body of Christ. We have to think of ourselves as one. One body, one ministry, one mission. We need to compare ourselves with love's characteristics. Our goal is to be in line with that love, because it is the most important thing, as the Bible says. The greatest of these is love. Let love be your highest goal. And what we're going to do is, as a body, we're going to sift through the things that we have. We're going to sift through our emotions. The thing that I think is real powerful that the Bible calls us to do, that sometimes we don't always think about, is the Bible doesn't just call us to read. It calls us to apply, doesn't it? What good is it if you just read the Bible cover to cover to cover, but you never do anything that the Bible says to do? What good is it to learn to spend your whole life studying about love, as it says in 13, if you have not love? You've got nothing. Nothing at all. So we're going to sift through. We're going to look at the things that we're putting into our body here as a church. We're going to look at the good things that we need to put in. We're going to look at some of the bad things that have gotten in here. And we're going to apply what Paul is talking about in the Bible here in the next few weeks. Because what Paul is preaching here is so important. And it is the devil's job to break the body. The devil's job is to send in division, is it not? Because when we are divided as individuals, when we don't have that complement, when I don't have my wife with me, she doesn't complete me because I don't have all the gifts that I need. But my wife has all the gifts that she needs, and so she gives some of them to me as extras. No, but when we come together, we all complement one another, and Satan's job is to try to get us to not come together. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We've got our instructions. But how are we doing? We're going to find out. As we go this week, I encourage you to look carefully at what Paul is preaching here in chapter 12 and 13. Understand how they go together, and understand that without this love, the body of Christ does not exist. And without this love, Bangor Liberty does not exist. Bangor Liberty wants to grow spiritually. If this church wants to grow in numbers, we want to further the body of Christ, we have to get this love. We have to understand it, and we have to practice it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message this morning, Lord. And as we go throughout these next weeks, I pray that you would look into us and look into our hearts, Lord, and just pull out the things that are making our body unhealthy. And help us feed in those things that we need, Lord. All those characteristics of love so that we can come together as one. Seeking our hardest to be without divisions. Father God, we know we're human and we know that we sin. But we thank you so much for the love that you've given us and for the forgiveness, Lord, with repentance. Pray that you would bless every person who comes in these doors, Lord. That we'd be able to minister to them effectively the love of Christ. That they would see this body and want to be a part of your ministry, Lord. Amen.